while we're waiting that to come up. Our next speaker is Dr. Sarah Sanders from the University of New Mexico Prevention Research Center, where she is an exercise scientist, and she will be talking to us about an intervention on physical activity and TV viewing. So thank you.
Good morning. Disclaimer, I'm not a doctor. Master's degree level.
Well, you're an honorary doctor.
Honorary doctor, I like that. This is a really an excellent presentation to follow the one that just came. You'll, I sort of wish I had a couple of their slides in my presentation because their slides fit very well with the project that we did. So, I guess, is there a clicker or do I just do that?
You can just, yeah, use the arrows.
Okay. So the title of my presentation is Effects of the Child Health Initiative on Lifelong Eating and Exercise. That's what CHILE stands for, on physical activity and TV viewing. I was going to start my timer so I don't run over too much. And I have no financial disclosures. So I wanted to acknowledge right off the team of researchers that I work with. Sally Davis is the primary investigator on the CHILE project. Teresa Cruz is the epidemiologist. Oren Myers is the statistician, and that's our Sandias in Albuquerque. Elaine O'Donnell was the data analyst, and Judith Shishi was a student at the time, and she's here in the room today and helped a lot with the TV portion of the paper. I'm Sarah. I thought it'd be fun to let you know I'm a flamenco dancer. And I am the exercise scientist on the project, or was, and really helped get everyone moving. I'd also like to acknowledge all of the Head Starts that participated in our project, their families and community members and staff, the CHILE research team, Alexandra Morshed and Elizabeth Yakes Jimenez, who helped review the paper, and finally the National Institute of Diabetes and Digestive and Kidney Diseases that provided the funding for the project. Just a little bit more introduction on New Mexico. If you're not familiar with our statistics, we have a high percentage of American Indian and Hispanic population. Oh, sorry, I thought I had circled it, but I highlighted it so you can see that we have about 10% in New Mexico of American Indian population versus the 1% nationally and 47% of Hispanic population. So we were actually the first minority-majority state. You can see here the prevalence of combined obesity and overweight. So that's kids who are over the 85th percentile for BMI. 38.7 of third graders in New Mexico versus the 32.6 nationally and 30.3% of kindergarten age versus 26.7% nationally in 2 to 5. So they're not exactly apples to apples, but it gives you a sense, a little bit of our prevalence of obesity compared to the national prevalence. And also, when you look at the state overall, our state in general compares well. Nationally, we have about the same amount of obesity and overweight, but when you look at it by race and ethnicity, you can see that the health disparities between American Indian and Hispanic and white populations here, with 41% of combined overweight and obese, 31.8 combined overweight and obese for Hispanic, and only 24.8 for the white population. So a little bit about the study. It was an obesity intervention prevention, a group randomized controlled trial across 2 years in 16 Head Start centers in rural New Mexico. All of the sites were about 200 miles, within 200 miles of Albuquerque, so that we could actually get there. We had 8 intervention sites and 8 comparison sites. The comparison sites received the intervention at the end of the study. And it was based on the social ecological model, so that we had an intervention that focused on the child, where the children and the Head Starts received a physical activity intervention. And I'd like to say now that I'm focusing on the physical activity portion of the study, but it was a nutrition and physical activity intervention. So there are some parts of the intervention that I'm going to pay less attention to. So there is a whole nutrition curriculum in addition to the physical activity curriculum that got the kids moving. We asked the Head Start teachers to add 30 minutes a day, and we provided the portable playground equipment to the teachers as well as equipment in the classrooms. At the family level, we provided family events at the Head Start biannually and the first year, and then quarterly the second year. And actually, I said that backward. We did it quarterly the first year and then biannually the second year, because in the second year we found from working with the Head Starts that it worked better to have a large event where it was just the chili activities that were focused on rather than trying to fit our little tiny piece into their regular parent meetings, which is what we had done the first year. So at these family events, we invited the teachers to have their kids perform a physical activity. So this is a picture of a group of kids doing a performance. This was a way that we got families to come, because they were like, oh, my kid's performing, I gotta come. And then we use that opportunity to provide teaching around physical activity and nutrition to the families. We also sent home take-home materials to the families through the teachers about once a week. We made our materials in Spanish as well as English. And the physical activity curriculum focused on having three separate parts. The first part was an exercise breaks, where the teachers could just pull out a card anytime that they wanted to do some physical activity, and it was a 5 or 10 minute break that they could do that was easy, that didn't require a lot of equipment or a lot of space. And then there was also a whole notebook of activities that we labeled game time and move and groove, and the game time activities really helped the kids on their skills and on following directions, and the Move and Groove was more music-based and dance-based. And then finally, we also did that professional development that was quarterly during each year of the intervention. So we worked with the teachers on gaining that confidence in teaching and leading physical activity, and really, really focused on getting them to think of physical activity as a way to learn, especially at this preschool age, rather than as something additional that they had to add to their curriculum. So how can you teach about math in ways that are physically active, right? And finally, for the community level, I have a picture here of a grocery store, because we had a grocery store piece where we put nutritious recipes into the grocery stores, and we had brochures that the families could pick up. We always put our racks near the fruit and vegetable section. We labeled the fruit and vegetables in the grocery store that the children were working on in the classroom and tasting and trying. But in addition to the grocery store, we also worked with the local healthcare providers. We engaged them in our project. We had one in each community that we invited to the family events and that we met with. We provided them a book of physical activity guidelines, and we provided them a book of the Bernstein Bears and Too Much TV to have in their office. We also sent that book home to their kids. And part of our materials focused on decreasing TV time. And so we had a tag, Turn Off Tuesdays, trying to encourage families to watch less TV and not turn it on Tuesdays. So in terms of how we measured our results, the study was focused actually on BMI, and so a big part of the study was focused on measuring height and weight, but that doesn't tell you how much kids move. So today we're going to talk about the physical activity portion of the parent interviews that we did. We did the interviews at the 16 sites at 4 different time periods across the study. We did 988 interviews with the parents of the, or caregivers, mostly mothers, of the preschool children, of 655 children. So we had to eliminate a few of those interviews because of medical conditions that would have limited their physical activity and or because of incomplete data on the physical activity portion of the interview. So we ended up with 974 interviews with the caregivers of 648 children. 62% of those were single interviews at one time point. So unfortunately, because of the rolling admissions at the Head Starts and kids constantly moving in and out, we were only able to have about 3% that had four interviews at, you know, one at each time period. So this is a picture of some of the kids doing a chili physical activity. An example of the question, some of the questions in the interview: how often does your child do this activity, playing ball, as in kicking a ball, catch, throwing, or rolling a ball, or hitting a ball? Judith, who's here, did a lot of these interviews, so she could probably say it from memory. And for the sedentary time, how much television does your child watch each day, both on weekday and weekend, so that we could have a sense how that varied. Let me tell you a little bit more about how we analyzed those results. On the how often question, their opportunity to answer was never sometimes often, and we dichotomized that variable into often versus never or sometimes, and then did a generalized mixed model regression analysis to account for the repeated measures and to predict participation in the physical activity behaviors. So the primary intervention test was a contrast of pre to post change among the intervention versus the control. So the demographics at the first interview was, as we had hoped, about half of the kids of the parents that were interviewed were female, and about 40% were American Indian, and 60% were Hispanic. That reflects how we had the sites divided among our ethnicities. And the one difference that we had at baseline was that the intervention group had slightly higher education level. So for the relative change in physical activity, when we look at the intervention versus the comparison relative to baseline, here are five activities that we asked about. We asked about many more activities, but these are the five activities that were heavily emphasized in the intervention because they were age appropriate for the kids and easy for the teachers and the families to implement. You'll see that dancing was the only one that was statistically significant change. When we take a look at the pooled results, so looking at the number one, you'll see that that is the fall 2008 baseline against which we compared the following measures. And so when you pull the results together, you'll see that everything was going in the right direction and was significant in spring 2009 and in spring 2010, but not in fall of 2009. So, and all of these frequencies were not associated with race, neighborhood, education, or baseline BMI. And as an interesting note, girls were less likely to engage in playing ball often and more likely to engage in dancing often. So finally, looking at the TV statistics, for the kids that watch 2 hours or more on weekdays, we see that it was in the expected direction for the intervention sites, had less increase than the control sites. For having a TV in the bedroom, the intervention sites dropped a little bit and the control sites went up, and the rules increased in the intervention sites. So all these three going in the right direction, but not statistically significant. Also, the mean hours a week for TV remained unchanged in the intervention group, but went up significantly in the control group. So starting to wrap it up, as I mentioned, we had a significant change in dancing. We think that this was because dancing is very suited to the developmental abilities of kids these age, and it's easy to implement, and it is important for the cultures that we focused on, and important for all ages. Similar studies of physical activity intervention in this age group do have mixed results. And especially at the time when we started this study, these type of studies were rare, especially in our population. We could not find any studies in our population of the American Indian and rural populations that focused on this. In terms of the limitations, this was a proxy report on the physical activity at home. And we really wished we could have used accelerometers, and that's something that I think is really important to do in future studies. We actually did a pilot study of using accelerometers in these kids, and at the time that we did the study, so this was back 2008, you saw was our baseline, the accelerometers that were available to us were pretty heavy on a little four-year-old kid, and we put them on the waist belts, actually on their waistbands first because they had clips, and they would fall off or into the toilet. So we said, okay. we're going to make sure they don't fall in the toilet. We're going to put them in a little fanny pack. And so we put them in a fanny pack and strapped them on the kids and zipped it up, and the kids unzipped it, threw the accelerometers around, and we really just had the most difficult time and felt like we weren't going to get any good results by spending a lot of staff time and energy and resources on getting these kids to wear the accelerometers. So I'd love to hear your stories about using accelerometers in this age group if anyone has any. Finally, you know, I just want to say that I think this is a great intervention. We're actually doing this intervention right now as an education project. I think it's a step on the road. You know, we didn't come up with huge, amazing findings, but we're starting with these young kids and we're getting them moving, and that's the direction we need to go. And we're training the teachers and we're getting those families thinking about, hey, I need to be active with my preschooler and start them on the right path. We do have some articles written about the Chile study. There's a video, and our curriculum is available online. So those are available to you. Thank you very much. My explanation for the TV viewing to increase over time is that the kids are getting more mobile, right? And they're getting to where they're able to ask for the TV and wanting to watch TV more. And the moms are wanting to be more busy, so they're sitting their kids down in front of the TV. That would be my guess, that it's a natural trend, just like physical activity declines, TV watching increases as they get older.